Welcome, y'all, to the Direct Examination Podcast. I'm Dane Phillips.
And I'm Joseph Bias. We're prepared to go forward with it. We're here live. We are not a cat. Dane, how are you?
Your Honor. And the eyes. It might be one of the funniest videos.
The panic in that man's eyes.
In the cat's eyes.
And by the way, my aesthetic in life is that other attorney who's just sitting there smirking. That I aspire to be him. By the way, other attorney, come on the show. Like, we need you here.
That's when you're saying, you know, this hearing's going well for me. That's
right. You call your client up and be like, jackpot. We did it, guys.
Like, you could feel the panic in the emoji cat of what had to be on his actual face. Right. It was too good.
I hope everyone's listening knows exactly what we're talking about. I'm sure you do. There's a viral video out there of an attorney who gets stuck in a Zoom filter as a cat. It's very funny. You should check it out. But we are here live. We are not cats. Dane, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you? I mean, you know, you have possibly some big news to bestow upon us.
Okay, so here's the thing. I'm going to try to be brief about this because I'm not trying to get divorced, but I did want to tell the story before the pod because I wanted to put it on the podcast because it's ridiculous.
All right. Papa BS.
Hush. All right, so here's what happened. So I got married last year. My wife inherited a dog through my wife. She had a dog named Petunia. Petunia's a pit bull.
That's called your dog.
So now it's my dog. I get you. Follow me here. All right, so my wife's family also had a pit bull that doesn't stay with us named Peter. Peter's about 9 years old. He's an older dog. Apparently, it was very important to my wife and her brothers to make sure that Peter had a lineage. Essentially, and I've heard this multiple times, they wanted to get Peter laid. Now, why that was a priority, I have no idea. But my wife decides she wants to get Peter laid. Well, guess what? She also has a pit bull named Petunia. The problem is Petunia doesn't want to put out. So Peter, what they end up doing essentially is putting Peter and Petunia in the room and letting nature take its business. The important part of this is that Joseph, the host of this intrepid show, said, don't do it. Don't want any part of it. Don't involve me. Like Hamilton, I remove myself from the narrative. Now, here's what happens. Then, of course, the dog gets pregnant. And my wife's brothers and her, they're so excited. Oh my gosh, we're getting puppies. It's great. I am a cynic and have an impending sense of doom and know how this is going to turn out. So 2 days ago, Petunia, who's been very pregnant for a while, decides to start having puppies on my kitchen floor. Now, after the first puppy, my wife was so excited. Oh my gosh, look, she's so adorable. Great. The second puppy comes out. Guys, it's a miracle. When the fifth puppy comes out, all of a sudden people's smiles aren't as bright anymore. When the eighth puppy comes out, now these siblings leave. They don't want to see the miracle of birth anymore, and I still have puppies on my kitchen floor. When the 11th, yes, 11th, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11th puppy comes out, which I'm pretty sure is a world record. The sneer, the vitriol, the anger of my face from having now 13 dogs in my house is irreplaceable. So
you had 11 miracles on your kitchen floor.
As one of my friends pointed out to me, I am 1/10 on the way to a Disney movie. Like, I literally am on my way to 101 Dalmatians. It's the most hard. So people say, oh, that's so cute. How can you be? One puppy is cute. 11 puppies are not. So this is now a PSA. If you're listening to this and you want a puppy, holler at me on Twitter, @ Joseph P. Bias. We want them to go to good homes, but I need them at my damn house.
And it's a good thing your wife doesn't listen to the podcast.
That's right. By the way, if she... Every now and then she goes, oh yeah, I listen to the show. It's pretty good. Not going to tell her about this one. So, her about this one. We're going to keep that. But this is why I've been never so happy. I've never been so happy to record a podcast because I now have peace and quiet in a room and I can lock the door.
So what you're saying is we're having a giveaway as part of the podcast. And part of this giveaway to promote the podcast is you get a free puppy.
Right,
you
download, right. In fact,
you download an episode, you have to send us your address and we'll drop a puppy on.
If you're listening to this now, congratulations, you're a dog owner.
Yeah, you just
did. Dane, that's hilarious. That's pretty good. All right, but look, from illustrious amounts of puppies to an illustrious guest, Dane, you know we only have the best on the show. We have a great story today. Tell us about her.
Absolutely. Look, nothing but illustrious guest as always. Our guest today is the founder of AFFC Law LLC, located in Greenville, South Carolina. Miss Williams earned her BS degree in accounting from USC and her JD degree magna cum laude, so she's obviously much smarter than us, from North Carolina Central University. Miss Williams focuses her practice on matters involving estate planning, probate administration and litigation, elder law, guardianships and conservatorships, bankruptcy law. She is the founder of Premature Millionaires, a nonprofit organization aimed at making a difference for foster children. Welcome, Bianca Williams, to the show.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Bianca, we're thrilled to have you. We want to get to your firm in a second, but I want to talk to you about your story. So we have a connection because I work for Midlands Tech, and I was alerted to your story from a publication, Midlands Tech. You have an interesting background that I think is not necessarily shared by a lot of the legal community, in that you were a foster child.
Yes, that is correct.
Talk to us a little bit about your journey from going from foster care to now owning your own law firm.
Yes, most certainly. So I grew up in Miami, Florida. I am the child of a teenage mother. She had me at age 16. Though I don't know the identity of my biological father, I was raised by my stepfather. And for the first 10 years, I had what I deemed to be a pretty normal childhood. Unfortunately, I later learned that my childhood was full of abuse, both physical and sexual abuse. And that led to me going into foster care at the age of 10. I entered into foster care in the state of Connecticut, and my time in the foster care system also was a time I'm dealing with the juvenile justice system. And so for 5 years, from the age of 10 to 15, I was in and out of courts, essentially trying to get my own personal story resolved, and it eventually ended up being dismissed. So I think I had my first kind of preview or association with the Me Too movement, knowing personally what that felt like, and dealing with that. And at the age of 15, that was the same year I ended up getting adopted. And during my time in the foster care system and as a young child, I would get into trouble. I would act out. That was my way, I guess, of dealing with the trauma that I had endured. And over the years, I'd always said that I wanted to be an attorney, but really didn't know how I would get there. The only attorneys I knew was Terry from the movie Soul Food, which I love, and the attorneys that were within the foster care system. So I knew I wanted to be an attorney or a social worker, but I didn't really know how to quite get there. And as a child acting out, I found myself oftentimes in fights and getting in trouble. And I remember one day the family court judge assigned to my case said to me, you know, I know you say you want to be an attorney. How do you plan on being one if you are constantly in my courtroom getting in trouble? And it was like a light bulb went off, because it was like, wow, she's right. How do I plan on being an attorney if I'm the defendant in the case? And so, of course, this was juvenile school fights. So that's kind of the gist of where my trouble was as a teen. Well, needless to say, when you're in foster care, you typically age out of the system. So aging out of the system is a process that many foster children, they know about. For some, they celebrate, but for many, it's a day. It's like D-Day, and it's kind of scary, because what happens on this particular day is, in most states, when you turn 18, you're pretty much on your own. And for a lot of people, you may remember what it was like to turn 18, and it may have been excited to go to college or to feel like you were grown. But for foster children, they don't always have that luxury. And I was in that similar situation. Although I was adopted by my foster mom, there came a time where I became to be too grown, and she, in her rules and her words, said, you know, I couldn't stay there if I was going to continue to act in that manner. So needless to say, I ended up coming back home to my biological family. At the age of 18, they were residing in Columbia, South Carolina. And it was at that point in time, I ended up going to Midlands Technical College. And while I was in that program, I was enrolled in their paralegal program. And so I thought that was a great kind of preview to kind of let me know, what is this legal system about?
Right.
Is it really about the coins like Soul Food made it seem like? Am I going to be like Terry making $300,000 with the big car?
So wait, time out. All lawyers don't make $300,000 with the big car. This is...
Spoiler alert, no.
Yes.
No. And so
the law school's applications just went down dramatically. Right, I'm sorry. Go ahead and continue.
Wait until we talk about the student loans.
Yeah, that's right.
That sounds more like the student loan rate versus
right.
Yeah. And so needless to say, being in that paralegal program, it definitely gave me a preview of what I could expect as an attorney. And for me, I ended up having my first legal experience because I worked for Judge Amy McCullough, Richland County Probate Court Judge, from 2009 to 2011 or 2012 at the probate court. And that's kind of how I kind of got into the legal field. From that legal experience, I went to law school in the fall of 2012. I was very involved and active in my law school. I was the Student Bar Association president. I was on the law review. And I graduated in 2015. I took the North Carolina bar upon graduation and then took South Carolina that winter. And then from there, I waved into DC. And so today I'm a practicing attorney.
So that's obviously an amazing story. I want to kind of break it down a little bit.
Yeah.
There's some point where you say, you know what, this paralegal thing, because we may have listeners who may be, you know, considering the same thing. At some point you say, you know, I'm a paralegal, but I kind of want to take the next step. You were saying I need more student loans in my life. What made you, what was there a incident? Was there a moment where you said, you know what, I'm going to go for it and I'm going to try this law school thing out?
I think I had always known that I wanted to be an attorney, and it was like the paralegal degree allowed me ability to say, do you really want to do this? And so it was a great opportunity. Honestly, if the doors didn't align or open up the way that they did, I probably would have continued being a paralegal because I did enjoy my experience as an estate clerk. And there were other opportunities presented, but it was something that I knew it was what I wanted to do for myself to get to law school, to learn more about what law school could possibly be like.
Well, I mean, just the adversity that you overcome, the thing to me that's just so inspiring is, like you said, you know, a lot of people, when they've made it to that paralegal part, they would have felt like, you know, that's probably, you know, it's the safe thing to do is to stay, get this degree, pursue this career. But instead, you know, you took that leap of faith and you jumped, you know, for your dreams. And what I hope we have some people, as Joseph pointed out, that's in that paralegal program or who are paralegals who've done that, because I know how great that program is. I've dealt with a lot of paralegals who've went through it. Yeah. And so, I mean, they put out, you know, obviously the lectures and all that, I know they actually, it's a lot of law. And, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, if you want to actually cover some of that to explain to people out there who may be interested, who do maybe wants to dip the toe into that program to see if law is something they're interested in. But the fact that, you know, you went for it and did it, I mean, that's just it's amazing.
It's a testament to.
I mean, you're living the dream. I mean, you get me fired up. I mean, your story makes people want to run through walls. It certainly gets me fired up because there's no, you know, when you hear your story and the attitude and the smile on your face, it just, you know, to me, when somebody says that, you know, that they don't have a chance, I would, you know, run and show you that, you know, you make it all possible for sure.
So you have your awesome story of coming out of foster care. And one of the reasons we wanted to have you on is you've now kind of applied that to a nonprofit. So tell us about Premature Millionaires.
Yes, my baby, Premature Millionaires. So Premature Millionaires, I actually chose that name for any of you Drake fans. Drake is a rapper, Canadian rapper.
We're not that old. Like,
okay, wait, you're like, oops, no.
I just want to make sure.
This is amazing. Okay. No, and we can leave this part in, but like, we had an attorney on before who's like, oh yeah, I have a TikTok account, and then said it to us like we have no idea what TikTok is. And now we have an attorney on who's like, so anyway, Drake, this rapper, he's this new guy on the scene.
You gotta read the room. I was reading the room.
Sure, sure.
So Drake.
I'm assuming you're talking about Dane.
Yeah, I was about to say, I feel singled out here. Yeah,
I would like to hope that that's not, but you know, I'm no judgment. Sorry. All right.
Look, I'm a criminal defense lawyer. I'm in the streets. You think I don't know?
Dan has his finger on the pulse of America. He can tell you about Drake, Lil Baby, Da Baby, all the babies. Dan knows them.
You think I don't know the Ten Commandments? Well, I'm not even going to go that route.
Look, Dane,
old school stuff.
All right, freestyle episode coming up soon. All right, sorry, Bianca. So Drake has a song, Premature Millionaire. All right, tell me about how Drake relates to the nonprofit.
Yeah,
maybe the name of the episode.
Yes, most certainly. So I think it's the song Congratulations. It was off his So Gone mixtape. And in the song he says something along the lines of Premature Millionaire, we're living out our realest year. And I could remember, like, that's the name. And so it was something that back in, I think it might have been 2013-14, I remember hearing that song. I love that song. I heard that lyric, and I chose that name because anyone who has been a former foster child like myself, one of the things that people don't realize, especially about children in foster care, is we hate the word foster. We do not like foster child. We do not like foster care. There's such a stigma attached to it. Right. And so when I thought about launching a nonprofit that was geared towards changing the narratives of children in foster care, I said, well, I gotta have something that's cool. I can't go calling it foster care or something because they're not gonna wanna be associated with that. And so Premature Millionaires is how that came about. And really it also stemmed from the fact that when it comes to being a foster child, you are inundated with statistics and data about what you can't do. And you get told your success story. That's great, but oftentimes children in foster care, they don't want to be told their success story. Ideally, they're a survivor, you know, because it's they've had to go through so much. And needless to say, my goal in creating that name, one, not wanting to go with the typical one that they would have kind of shied away from, but two, was really meant to affirm them by pretty much allowing them to see that they were millionaires in the making. And that is a mindset.
Confidence.
Yeah.
Great confidence.
Yes, yes. And so that's where the name came from, the reason behind it. It's meant to affirm them. It's meant to provide support. I launched it in 2020 in the midst of a pandemic when we found ourselves home. That was a time for me to really just like, okay, God, you got me here. What's the purpose? What's the plan? And for me, 2020 represented a year where I turned my pain into purpose. And so 501c3, we got everything registered and finalized. Got the board set up, which some of the members of the local South Carolina Bar are on my board. Shout out to Catherine Myers Wilson and Mark McLawhorn.
Both who have made appearances on this podcast.
Yes, look at that. Full circle. Yeah.
Exactly. So if people wanted more information about the nonprofit Premature Millionaires, where can they go?
Where can they donate money?
Yeah, where can they give you money? That's what this is about. You need, you know, to make actions and do things. We need people to donate.
I'm doing a call to action. Where can they give you money?
Exactly. Tell them, Dave.
You can either reach us on Instagram. We are Premature Millionaires on Instagram. Our website is www.premature.com. Premature, millionaires.org. Or if you search us up on Facebook with that name, our icon, you will see a little kids icon. We're Premature Millionaires. We are there. We would love the support and donations, but even more, we would love volunteers. What would be so great is, especially when I think back to my experience, other than the services that were extended to me as a foster child and knowing those attorneys, I didn't have an attorney who was a mentor for me. And one of the reasons why I really felt like in recognizing turning my pain into purpose is I count it as a blessing that I am a practicing attorney in 3 states. And one of the things I realized was my network of peers and colleagues. I know doctors, I know lawyers, I know dentists, I know business owners. And I really thought it would be so awesome and amazing that rather than constantly telling these children what they can't do and what the statistics say, that if I and my peers and my colleagues mentor them, that we spend time with them, we encourage them, we check on them. That to me goes a lot further than money. Because really there aren't enough people advocating for them, checking up on them. I actually was reading an article, look at that, I don't like statistics, but I need to know the data to know where we can work. But this article talked about how children in foster care, their ability to kind of go and advance in life was even a lot lower than someone from a lower economic background. And they said the numbers were like drastically different. So they're way on the bottom, you know, totem pole, so to speak, if we're measuring it in that way. Right. But the gist of it being that I think above all else, my goal and the whole primary purpose of Premature Millionaires is to be that advocate. And so I not only run that nonprofit, but I actually today I spent about 7 hours volunteering for the Foster Care Review Board. So also in 2020, I was appointed by Governor McMaster to District 13D, and I serve as a volunteer. And on that board, I review foster care hearings. And so that is another way where I'm giving back. It's a non-paid position, but I love what it represents. I love being a part of that, advocating, being a voice. And so that's like an extension, and it gives insight to allow me to know that in my volunteer role, when it comes to my nonprofit, this is a extension of services that we could help with the child welfare system. Because the goal is to not necessarily point out and say, shame on you. I think it's all of our problems. Whether you were a foster child, you have foster children, you're a parent, you're a child, the child welfare system is in dire need of our support. And it starts with what we're doing. And so I think it's so important with this opportunity to just really share that as attorneys, absolutely, we can do a lot, whether it's mentoring, mock trial, advocating, proposing new legislation, objecting to legislation, you know, finding data, research, just things to really help empower the children in this state.
So we're running low on time, but I did want to talk about your law firm, AFC Law Firm, AFFC Law Firm, which is, like you said, located in Greenville. We're running low, so I'm going to ask you this question. What's the one thing in owning and operating your own law firm, what's the one thing that you've learned that young attorneys, people maybe thinking about doing that, should know?
The one thing.
Look, you didn't come on this podcast for the easy questions. We're hard hitters.
I see. The one thing.
You can give one of my answers, and he'll ask me one thing, and I'll give three.
That's true. The Dane answer, if you ever ask Dane anything, he's like, well, the first 15 things that I know about, because he's thorough.
I would say,
I'm 6 years old, I don't have like a favorite thing.
I would say to not neglect the need to have a proper infrastructure. So what I mean by that is starting my own law firm, you know, especially being a first generation college student, I did not have clients like out the door, right? I thought I was like, okay, I'm gonna go, I'm gonna open up these doors, you know, hey Twitter, hey Facebook, hey Instagram, just started my firm. And I just knew people would be lining up. It didn't happen. However, what that allowed me to do is, in terms of building my infrastructure, it allowed me to have systems in place. So practice management system, a phone line system, a fax system, document storage system. And the reason why I say that those infrastructures are important is when those clients do come, you don't want to be playing catch up or finding yourself getting behind and needing to implement something. And so my greatest takeaway, and it's something you can do as a law student, when I say infrastructure, even down to the fact that this is a free plug, when you're a solo practitioner, you have to pay for all of your services, like from legal research and things that as a student you get free access to. And so one of the things I did while I was a student is I would save my research in a folder. I would save the forms and the templates and things that I had access to. And some of those items I was able to retrieve them. Another tip, free tip that I did during my first year and it went a part of my infrastructure is I would go to the law school's library on a Friday night. I know, spoiler alert, I don't have a life, but I would go there on Friday night and instead of purchasing, because I just graduated law school, I didn't have, you know, any income coming in, instead of purchasing that brand new CLE, the local the law school library would get those publications for free. And so you could photocopy and scan that information, or I would peruse those books, get what I need. And that helped me build my infrastructure in my library at a very low, zero, free for the low cost. And so I would just really highlight infrastructure, 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 and not taking for granted that this time when you're getting things together is a time for you to get your infrastructure together.
So how we close out our podcast these days, and it gets to be something that our listeners love, we love it, is to listen to war stories. And what a war story is, as we talked before we started recording, was, you know, a memorable story. It can be funny. It can be just poignant. It really can just be anything that you want it to be that just stands out, that you would love the listeners to hear about, that's happened to you, that, you know, it's just, again, it can be something that's very serious. It can be something that's funny. It's totally your choice.
I guess the war story that I would highlight, and it was something that happened in the practice. I won't give too many details, but I had a court hearing and it was for a guardianship and conservatorship matter. And I put endless hours on this case. I mean, it kept me up. Even the day before the hearing, I don't think I went to bed that day. I put a lot of time. I was heavily invested. I kept in constant contact with the client and I wanted to really see, like, advocate on behalf of my client and in my eyes, see justice be done. When he said go to court, and I'm thinking, you know what? If you watch Scandal, I came in that courtroom like Olivia Pope. I had my white coat on.
Right.
You couldn't tell me anything.
Gladiator in a suit. You were just
Gladiator suit. You know what I'm saying? Put on the matching hat. I am just stepping. I'm like, you know what? Go ahead and block off my calendar for the rest of the day, because after I come in this courtroom and I get this justice and I get this ruling in my favor, I'm going to go ahead and take the weekend off. That's what I thought. Right. So I get in that courtroom early that morning. Mind you, I didn't get any sleep. And I literally am thinking, like, this is going to be it. And you know what? This is going to be the case where, you know, it's going to somehow, the word is going to come out and this is going to be the case. Like, this is going to be my case. You know, right. I am going to make it. You know, go ahead and just let them know. Give me my ring. I'm going to make it. Well, it did not happen. Let's just say by the end of what was supposed to be an hour hearing ended up being multiple hours, and ended up the woman who came in with her hair laid, her heels on, her suit, walking and strutting, you know, Olivia Pope, left out hair sweated out, tears. I walked out in tears and I was ready to quit the practice of law. Like, I walked out of it, and I actually, what made it worse, oh, I forgot this part. I just knew this was going to be my day. I even invited an audience. I allowed my intern to come to court with me that day. I was like, oh yeah, you need to see what winning looks like. You need to see what this looks like. Go ahead and send the memo, CC everybody.
Right.
If you get a moment, go ahead and catch a little
Yeah, video it because this is going to go viral. Yep.
Set it up.
That's what happened. Yeah.
You put it in motion.
This is going to go viral. We're leaving out Eternus with me. And he says, Tony Williams, did you ever get the clip? See, do you know what clip you wanted me to get? And those were not even allowed in the courtroom.
It was look, terrible. I wish I could say like this was a, but I'm pretty sure we've all been there. We've all like had the one where we struck out, and I've had the one where I've invited somebody and it did not go well. So that's a good war story. That's a good one.
We all have been there, and I can tell you it is
there's 200 people listening nodding their heads right now.
It is a lonely place to be. That's right. It is a lone, especially like you said, the audience. There's one story in my head I'm thinking about, and there was an audience and the whole thing, and I just remember like I feel alone on an island here. This is a rough place to be right now.
look, I made the mistake of inviting the girlfriend at the time to court and saw that, and I was like, well, this relationship's over. Guys, it's been fun. All right, see you. Bianca, thank you so much for joining us today. We love your story. We love hearing about premature millionaires. Of course, if you want more information about that, you can go to prematuremillionaires.org. They're also on Twitter at prematuremillie, M-I-L-L-I, you know, like Lil Wayne, Millie. Boom, see, not old. Premature Millie, number 2. On Twitter, Instagram.com/WeArePrematureMillionaires. And of course, you can find them on Facebook as well by searching Premature Millionaires.
Give them some money.
Yes. And look, we didn't get to it because we ran a little bit long. But if you actually want to retain an attorney who can help you out with estate planning, probate administration, litigation, elder law, guardianships, conservatorships.
Olivia Pope.
Right. If you want Olivia Pope, because look, she got the bad one out of the way. It's only good stuff going forward.
Only up for me from here.
You can go to affclawfirm.com. You can also search AFC Law on Instagram and Facebook. And if you need some of that, you can, of course, go to our Twitter or our Facebook page, and we will have links to those as well. If you want to follow us, you can follow us at SC Law Pod on Twitter and Facebook. You can follow me at Joseph PBS. Follow Dane at SC Crim Lawyer, and you can follow Amber at Red Judicata. Dane, it's good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you. We appreciate everybody for listening. We haven't said it yet. We want you to like, share, and subscribe. Tell your friends, tell your wives, tell the cats, tell the dogs, your Zoom emojis, tell everybody.
Right, right. I can tell you that each of those 11 puppies will get
every download.
Each of them will listen to this. In fact, they will grow up hearing only the best podcasts. The best legal podcast in South Carolina.
Puppy email us, direct examination podcast.
Yeah, we're going to leave that in at directexaminationpodcast@gmail.com. Email us if you want a pit bull puppy. Don't fight the puppies. We're not going to do it. There's a screening process where, and my wife will demand regular pictures and updates of these dogs because she's a crazy person. But I love her. All right. So for Bianca, for Dane, for Amber, who couldn't make it today, and I have to do this for Princess Pebbles, Peaches, Piper, PJ, Pierre, Patches, Parker, Poppy, Penny, Paisley, and Pablo. Thanks for listening to the Direct Examination Podcast.
Thanks for listening.